Today we begin lesson number 8 in Megillas Esther. We'll be learning Per Gimel, chapter 3, Psukim Ches to Tesvav, 8 to 15. We are 5 lines from the top of page 1265 in the Simonim Tanakh. Now that Haman is upset with Mordechai, he speaks to the king and makes the following offer. The rabbis point out, you should know there is no one as great as a Baal Lashon Hara, master of slander, than Haman, as we see in this pasuk, pasuk Ches. Vayomer Haman, and Haman said, La Melech Achashverosh, to King Achashverosh. Now, he wants to kill the Jews and wants Achashverosh to give him approval for this. Achashverosh is quite afraid of it, because he knows that Hashem protects the Jews, and he doesn't want to be destroyed by Hashem like Paro and others were destroyed. So he has reservations, to which Haman says the following, Yeshno, there is, Am Echad, one nation, Mifuzar, they are scattered, Umiforad, and dispersed, Bein Ho'amim, between the nations, Bechol, in all of Medinos Malchusecha, in all the provinces of your kingdom. The rabbis explain the word yeshno, although it means there is, but it's the same root as the word yashen, which means asleep. And he says the Jewish people are asleep in their Judaism. They're not observing their Judaism. So you need not be concerned of attacking the Jews, because Hashem will no longer protect them. Besides that, Achashverosh would be afraid there'd be some reprisals against him for trying to attack these nice Jewish people. So he says they're mufuzar mufurad. They're scattered and they're dispersed. There's nobody. They can't defend themselves because they're not one united front. And no one's going to care about them. As well, another reason to destroy them, vidosem, and their laws, our shonos, are different, mikolam, from all other nations. For example, they don't eat our food, and they don't intermarry with us. As well, as dosei hamelech, and the laws of the king, einamosim, they don't do. Which means to say, let's say, for example, they don't pay taxes. As well, he's saying, they despise the king. For example, if a fly would fall in their wine, they'd just pluck the fly out of the wine and drink it. But if the king would touch their wine, they'd spill it out. Also, he says, v'lamelech, unto the king, ein shoveh lahanicham, ein shoveh, it's not worth it, lahanicham, to let them be. They don't provide anything for you. You don't need them. So therefore, he's given many reasons why these people should be destroyed. You don't have to care that Hashem's going to protect them. They're not keeping their religion. You don't have to care about any reprisals because they're scattered around. They're defenseless. And there's good reason to destroy them. People will accept what you're saying, that they have different laws than us and they don't respect the king and they don't follow the king. And there's going to be no loss if you destroy them. Therefore, on Pasuk Tes, Im, if it is, Al HaMelech Tov, if it's Tov, if it pleases the king, Yikos save, let it be recorded. Let Abdom to destroy them. In other words, letters should be sent out to the governors of all the provinces. Now, I realize that you may lose a lot of money from these people. So, and it may cost a lot of money to hire out soldiers to destroy them all. So Haman, who's the richest man, offers a tremendous amount of money to seal the deal with Achashverosh. Va'aseres, and 10 alofim, thousands, 10,000 kikar, talents of kesef, of silver, eshkol, I will weigh out, I will pay for you. To get an idea of how much money this is, a kikar kesef, a talent of silver, is equal to each one is equal to 3,000 shekels. And one shekel is 0.8 ounces of silver. And therefore, one kikar, which is 3,000 times 0.8, is 2,400 ounces of silver. 10,000 kikars is 24 million ounces of silver, or 750 tons of silver. That's a tremendous amount of money he was offering to the king. And what would that be for? Al Yedei, therefore, he wanted to give it into the hands of Osei Hamalacha, those who perform their duties to destroy the Jews. And he wanted to be upfront with it, Lahavi, to deposit it, El to the Ginzei, the treasuries of Hamelech, the king. He says, here's a 24 million ounces of silver that I'm prepared today to just put into the king's treasury. You'll be able to pay off the soldiers to kill them. Whatever revenues you ever hoped of getting from Jews will more than compensate for it. So, what's the king's response? Pasuk Yud, Vayoser HaMelech, and the king removes Estaba'ato, his signet ring, Me'al Yado, from his hand, which symbolized giving Haman full authority to do what he wants, as the signet ring would be the seal of official, to seal official documents. Vayitnan, he gave it Lahaman to Haman, Ben Hamadasa, the son of Hamadasa, Ha'agogi, the descendant of Agag, Tzorir HaYehudim, the enemies of the Jews. So he says, okay, here's the ring, and you can basically do what you want. What about the money, Yudalef? Vayomer HaMelech LaHaman, and the king said to Haman, HaKesef, the money, Nosun Lach, it's as if it's given to you. In other words, the king is saying, consider it, I've already accepted your money without you giving it to me. And the truth is, this is what I hoped for. I always wanted to find a way to kill the Jews. So if you're volunteering for that, I don't even need any money for you. The Ha'am and the people, Lassos Bo, to do it to them, Katov, as it pleases Beinecha, in your eyes. So Haman is given full reign, as it were, to decide what edicts to publish. So Yud Beis, Vayikar'u Sofrei HaMelech. So the secretaries of the king were called when Bachodesh Harishon, in the first month, Bishlosha Asar Yom, on the 13th day, Bo, in that month, Vayikasev, and it was written, Kechol, everything, Asher Tziva Haman, which Haman commanded. Now, who was this to be written and sent to? El Achashdar Penei HaMelech, to the satraps of the king, Vel Hapachos, and to the governors, Asher al Medina umedina, over each and every province. Ve'el, and also to the Sorei Am, the officials of the nation of Am va'am, each and every nation. Medina umedina, province and province. Kich Savo, in its own script. Ve'am va'am, and to each nation. Kilshano, in its own language. Now, these are the higher ranking officials throughout the realm. And he sent in what the letters? B'shem HaMelech Achashverosh, in the name of King Achashverosh, Nichtov, it was written, V'nechtom, and sealed, B'tabas HaMelech, with the seal, the ring, signet ring of the king. So these letters that were sent to high-ranking officials spelled out exactly what was going to happen to the Jewish people. And how did it reach them? Yud Gimel, Vanishlach, and they were sent, Svarim, letters. Letters were sent, Biyad HaRotzim, via the couriers, El Kol Medinos HaMelech, to all the provinces of the king, Lehashmid, to destroy, Laharog, to kill, Ula Abed, and to exterminate, Eskol HaYehudim, all the Jews, Mina'ar, from young, Va'ad Zaken, to old, Taf, children, Venoshim, and wives, B'yom Acher, on one day. And what would that day be? Bishlosha Asor, on the 13th day, Lechodesh Shneim Asor, to the month that is the 12th month, Huchodesh Adar, which is the month of Adar. And besides killing everybody, Ushlalom, and their possessions, Lavos, to plunder. This is the message that was sent to all the high-ranking officials. It was not for public release. And basically saying, we're going to kill all the Jews on the 13th of Adar, and you're going to be able to plunder all their wealth. However, that was the official document, but that was more of a quiet document, only to the highest officials. But then there'd be a public document published for public consumption that would be watered down a little bit. Yudalid, Pas Shegen, copies of the Haksov document, Lehino Seindos, to give over the edict. This is the public, for the newspapers, as it were. B'chol Medina Medina, in each and every province, Goli, were revealed, published, L'chol Amin, to all the nations. And this is not exactly what they said. It was just Leos, to be Asidim, ready in the future, L'yom HaZeh, for this day, In other words, it said you have to be prepared. There's going to be a military operation. We're going to be annihilating a certain people, but it was not mentioned who the people were. So this way, they wouldn't have to. The Jews would not necessarily know that for a fact. Publicly, it didn't look like anything bad was going to happen, at least in terms of who were going to be killed, not any innocent Jews. However, a lot of confusion resulted from sending two separate documents. Tesvav, Haratzim, the couriers, Yotsu, they went out, Techufim, hurriedly, Bidvar HaMelech, by order of the king. Why so quickly? Well, Haman was afraid the king might change his mind, so send it out right away. Of course, Haman knew that word would leak out, and the Jews would ultimately find out that they're getting killed, although it wasn't officially stated, and this would cause the Jews a long time to suffer. This is all part of Haman's nastiness. On the other hand, it was part of Hashem's great plan to give Jews a lot of time to do tshuva. The Hados and the edict Nitna was distributed b'Shushan HaBirah in the capital Shushan. And what's happening now? The Hamelech and the king Vahaman and Haman Yoshu, they sat lishtos to drink and to feast and to celebrate. Haman as well wanted the king to get nice and drunk, so he wouldn't have time to reconsider what he was doing, and by the time he sobers up, the letters will have been sent out. But on the other hand, Vaha'ir Shushan, but the city of Shushan, Navocha, was confused. Many interpretations as to why it was confused. Number one, people weren't sure who was going to be killed. Remember, the public document didn't really tell anybody what's going on. Obviously, even though there was high-level documents that had the truth, it got leaked out. And it was leaking out that the Jews are going to get killed. So anybody in Shushan was confused as they're seeing Jews crying and Goyim being very happy. So that also explains the confusion. The person walks in and says, why are the Jews crying and the Persians are happy? As well, the rabbis tell us that as soon as the edict went out, all of a sudden Hashem showed his disfavor with this, and all of a sudden terrible accidents were happening to the Persians. Men would be drawing water and fell into water and die. People would be on roofs and fall off and die. All of a sudden lots of accidents were happening. So there was confusion there as well. But with all that confusion, Haman and the king were very happy with what was going on and oblivious to all the confusion that was there. Let's take a look at the questions. Number one, what slander did Haman say to the king regarding the Jews? He said many slanderous things. He said the Jews were asleep from their mitzvahs. That's number one. He said they're scattered and dispersed amongst each other, so they can't really unify against you. He said their laws are different than any other people's laws. They don't follow the king's laws, and it's not worth it for the king to let them stay around. Two, how did Haman allay the fears of the king that Hashem would not punish him for destroying the Jews? He said they were yeshno, the Jews were asleep, they weren't doing mitzvahs, and if they don't do mitzvahs, Hashem will not protect them. Three, how did Haman allay the fears of the king that there would be no reprisals against his plans? He says since the Jews were scattered and dispersed, they could not work together to defend themselves, and no one would help them either. For how would people be informed of the decree? There would be letters sent out with the king's royal signet ring signing it. Five, how many talents of silver did Haman offer the king? 10,000. Six, how much did the silver weigh? The silver in total weighed 24 million ounces, or 750 tons worth. Seven, why did Haman offer the king that much silver? Number one, to pay for all the soldiers who'd have to do the maneuvers to kill the Jews, and also to compensate for any loss that could happen of the Jews not paying any taxes. Eight, where would the silver be deposited? In the king's royal treasuries. Nine, what does the king do with his signet ring and why? He gives it to Haman, giving Haman absolute power to seal and sign any decree in his name. 10. Does the king accept the silver Haman? Why? No, he does not. He hated the Jews so much, he didn't want the money, didn't care for the money, and it was happy enough that Haman would kill the Jews. 11. On what date was the decree written? On the 13th day of Nisan. 12. Who wrote the decree? The secretaries were given the job of writing the decree as Haman dictated it to them. 13. To whom was the decree sent? It was sent to the satraps, the governors, the officials, the higher up level people, and was sent secretly without, wasn't for public consumption. 14, in what script and language was the decree written? In every country's own personal language and their own script. 15, in whose name was the decree written? In King Ahasuerus's name. 16, who were the letters sent with? They were sent with couriers. 17, what was the content in the letter? The content was to kill all the Jews on the 13th of Adar and to plunder all their wealth. 18, who would be killed in the decree? All Jews, from young to old, children and women as well. 19, on what day would the decree be enforced? On the 13th of Adar. 20, what was publicly written concerning the decree? Publicly, they only said that the country should be ready for military maneuvers to kill out a nation, but not describing who they were. 21, why were the public documents different than the original letters that were sent? He sent them differently so the Jews would not know about it. It would look bad to publicly say, from a public relations point of view, that he's killing out all the Jews. So this would be no time for anybody to try to defend them. And just say, be ready on this day, and we'll tell you that day what to do. 22, why were the couriers hurried by Haman? Three reasons. Number one, Haman was afraid the king may change his mind, so let's get this done right away. Number two, when word would leak out, the Jews would be suffering for a long time, knowing that's 11 months until they're going to get killed. And number three, it was all part of Hashem's plan to give the Jews a lot of time to do tshuva. 23, what was the mood in Shushan and why? It was very confused for many reasons. Number one, people weren't exactly sure who they were going to kill according to the public documents. Number two, based on all the leaks that were happening, a person coming to Shushan could not understand what's going on. Why are Jews crying and the non-Jews happy? And number three, as soon as the decree was sent out, Hashem all of a sudden mysteriously is having people die with all kinds of accidents, and that causes lots of confusion and sadness. 24, what were the king and Haman doing at the time of the letters were sent out, and why? They were drinking and feasting, Haman doing that so the king would get drunk and not have time to change his mind. Please review today's lesson and review yesterday's lesson 7. Have a great day.